love the slow fade jazz. Welcome to Last Call for episode 29, everyone. Joined by
Crystal Takeover. Hostel Takeover. Chris.
Joined by Chris McCartney and Megan.
Shut up. Episode 29, everyone. And I have a bone to pick with Chris.
Okay.
Bone. Pick it.
Okay.
Picking
okay.
Bones.
Guys, if you just listened to the episode, thanks for one. That's great.
Thank
Give
you.
Us a 5-star rating
Thank
and review.
Thank you so much.
Taking over Chris's role.
I'm here to reinforce that we use troublemakers as much as we can.
What's up, troublemakers? That's how I talk now. That's my normal voice.
Oh,
everybody's
it's not.
Used to that now. What's up, everyone?
That's the first time I've heard
voice
that.
Remember to smash
everything.
That like button and subscribe. Okay, Chris?
Yes.
Your mechanic, I love it. I love it, the swarm mentality and just doing general damage. Mm-hmm. However,
but I
you
hate
still
it.
Have to reward area of effect spells, motherfucker.
I do.
No, you didn't.
Well, it fucks me.
It fucks Minx so hard.
If you have people in the area of effect that you're trying to hit.
No. Think
well,
about
it
this way.
Seven people that I was
she
throwing
would do
it
20,
at.
Let's say
it
she
would
did
be
21.
21 times seven.
I'm okay.
In that way.
I see where you're coming from.
Because if she did a fireball and she hit, it's 2d10s, she can hit 20 damage on one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 20 damage. And you knock 20 damage against your horde, right?
Sure.
But if she cast fireball, the max she can do is like 30 damage for a high level spell. And it's only against,
48.
You're treating it as only against one person.
Here's what I will counter that, is that I was literally taking away an attack for every 10 damage that you did. Mm-hmm. These enemies did not all have 10 hit points. So I was rewarding that in a sense where you were taking away.
Yeah.
You were getting attacks taken away for every 10 hit points that you were doing. If we were doing base stats of all these creatures, all of them would have more than 10 hit points each.
That's very true, but she would be doing 30 damage or something, 21, 30 damage against 10 people. She'd be doing like...
It's more the way that I pictured this fight is that it is a war. There are thousands of troops going on at once.
Yeah.
You're not eradicating these enemies. You're literally just clearing a way through the lines.
Yeah, and I'm upset too because I didn't get to fight with my mom.
That's all he wanted.
Listen, did you have a good time or did you not have a good time?
I had a great time.
Okay. I had a good time.
I had a fantastic
I had the best
time.
Of time.
I tried to find a mechanic that best simulated what charging through a war would be
and
like.
And you did a really good job. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I just think that if Maggie casted Fireball, it should have done 100 times damage, Chris.
Yeah, flip
I also
that
just,
head.
I just want to apologize to the troublemakers. If you're hearing the stuff in the background, that's just my cat eating food.
Nobody heard anything.
Also,
I heard
sorry
some stuff.
Swore so much this episode. It's definitely a stress reaction.
Oh my god! In comparison to this guy, I'm pointing at Hartley. This guy.
That was fucking awesome. And
there we go.
And it was. It clues Hartley's wet dream of just like doing as much damage as humanly possible.
I love a big fight.
Yeah,
I
that was
They're
awesome.
Always fun.
That was a very satisfying fight.
I hate getting put to sleep.
Yes.
I hate losing senses.
Yes.
That is
sucks.
What kills me every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
really
the same
wanted...
with like going into darkness and getting stabbed
four times.
Stabbed.
And they just constantly, the further we went, the more they just targeted
Maggie. Yeah.
Just target Minx. She strolls in. She does no damage. They go, let's fuck her up. Let's not fuck up the people killing us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's between her and massive Clue,
they're going to thin the herd.
That's the only thing that I'm more so in Hartley's realm with, where I'm like, if I could have targeted a caster to start with, that would definitely have been my goal.
Right.
I know that wasn't built into the mechanic.
Yeah.
But that's it makes sense also like in a targeting standpoint.
It was more a matter of
us.
Like if you are going through a battlefield, I'm not going to roll for 40 different enemies.
No, of course.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible to try and get us through this massive battle.
Oh, no. It's a mechanic, but that's the only thing that.
Because
they could target
us. The way he kind of treated
it
was like,
it makes sense.
The only enemies that we were actually like removing from the battlefield were the ones causing the effect too. So like, until there was
each
even
block
one,
was that
so
enemy.
They were all casters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to eliminate them all to remove the effect.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, I also must say, I wouldn't know how to mechanically do this in a smarter, better way at this time at all. Like, I would not be able to run this in, like, a proper way.
But fuck you. All right?
But also, yeah.
Yeah.
Eh.
This fight also could have been a lot harder if you guys had not joined forces at the end.
I was, at the beginning. Yeah,
I'm glad we got to do that quickly. That really worked out nicely. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I think we needed that. Because, like, especially when, like, you ran out from the darkness and went the other way.
And then
we were able to sort of regroup in that spot again and then wipe everyone out, clear 100%. That dark. Like, we were in a really good position there. I really wanted to get, like, I wanted you to be, like, trying to affect me with sleep.
Magic.
Well, the way that sleep
targets the lower hit points.
Yeah.
I know,
but I have resistance to sleep. I can't be put to sleep, magical sleep, so.
Right, but they weren't attacking you. They were attacking her. Yeah. Damn.
Listen, guys, I'm sorry the war didn't go the way that you wanted.
Make a better war, Chris.
The war was fucking awesome.
It was really fun. I did love the whole mechanic.
Me too. Proceeding up.
Little chessboard style.
I also
healed you for the like what felt like almost the
first time.
I know.
With actual spells. Yay!
It was so confusing.
I know.
Yeah. I ran in with the potion.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got confused only at the part where it was like I think mixing in like casters happening and then lair actions happening because the term was used, and then I was like, and that's why I got freaked out with the darkness rather than just trying to like kill everybody out.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, the darkness isn't going to stop. Like, it's going to stay here.
Right.
But then once you said, like, if we kill everybody, it's going to go down. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's just different in my brain.
Yeah, I figured that would be the case if we were to, like, clear that quadrant.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's kind of effectively, the lair action operates separately from the attacks.
That's what, yeah.
But,
and so,
yeah, exactly.
I just got confused, and that's where I was like, no, guys, this, I have to get out. Like, I'm fucked otherwise, because I was at, like, 8 hit points or something.
Yeah, and then once we confirmed that, that made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, the lair actions were going to take effect as long as there was some form of hit point on the battlefield in that area.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed? And Maggie and I commented on it actually in the episode. So much dice rolling.
Oh, crazy amount.
A lot of dice.
When I throw on, and especially when we start fighting bigger enemies that like I want to do massive amount of damage to, here's what my thought process in an attack sequence is, okay, I'm going to attack. I roll my 2d20s to see if I hit on both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Based on that, let's assume I hit on both. Then I roll 2d6 for each attack. So that's 4d6.
Yeah.
If I tack on 4d6 plus 10, then if I tack on a power gauntlet, every charge is another d6.
Yeah.
So if I tack on one, it's 1, 2, 2. Then if I do a divine smite on each attack is 2d8 for each attack. So that could potentially be another 4d8. It's just so much. And then on top of that is like if we're blessed up, the d4s to hit the fucking,
there's a lot of modifiers being added. You had your blesses.
And then the meridians.
Yeah.
The d4 for each meridian. Oh my
this
god.
This is truly why I don't like martial classes, because you got like there's so many numbers.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
And I'm like, so I like spells.
Would it make more sense for us to like compile?
This is kind of D&D.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, for example, like, you know, like to make things easier for us, like since we're doing a podcast and we want to kind of roll the dice a bit faster. Like, if, for example, like I won't have it again, but let's say like the deep known poison is 4d6s.
Yeah.
I could just roll a 20-sided die and a d4, and that could be essentially the same outcome, right?
What?
A 20-sided die and a
d4? No.
Why would you do that? Because there's a chance that you just get 2 total damage.
Oh, right.
When you roll 46s, you're getting at minimum 4 damage.
I'll guys,
at most 24.
Yeah, if there's anything, a whole math behind it,
Michael.
I was
just using digital dice.
I was like, well, like 4 times 6 is 24, so I could just roll a d20 and 4-sided die.
You know that when you roll a d12 for every hit, it's different from me rolling 2d6s.
Yes, good sir. I now understand. Yeah, sorry. That was a stupid thing to say.
But a lot
God,
of
God, I'm so embarrassed.
But you're trying to help the group.
And also beyond all of that,
the number is the same.
But beyond all of that, they don't hear it. We cut it out.
It's true. It's true.
Like, it's true.
It doesn't matter. Really.
I was just trying to find efficiencies.
Yeah,
but they were silly efficiencies.
I appreciate an efficiency. Yeah. You know,
digital
that.
Dice are handy though. I digital use dice them makes for sense. Mass attacks and stuff. Like yeah. I don't. Yeah. But that's also because I'm like, I don't know. At certain points, I'm like, even Fireball, I'm like, that's 8d6s.
There's something so fun and tactile about rolling real dice.
Oh,
though, that's why. You know, that's like, why we all do
I
it.
I have a hoard of dice.
Oh. Which one's that? I think that's that one. We've lost a camera in the last call. Second last call
second
in a row.
Second last call with a camera lost. Ugh, I feel like I'm going to delete this from the last call. I will.
Delete what? No, you're not.
I just did.
No, you can't.
Why?
Huh? Don't delete it. We're talking D&D.
It's done. You don't edit the last calls. I'll do it. But now I got to do it again.
Brutal.
Chris, I had a great time.
Amazing. And at the same time, it's fun because like, we finally used a lot of the items that we've had for like
that's
so
right.
long since Tillville.
Yeah, yeah. The Deep Gnome Poison, that was clutch.
That was,
I'm so glad I got to use
that. An additional 4d6 of poison damage every turn is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think in like, you know, like you guys kind of lost out on like the area effect situation, but I think I gained a foothold with that, like being able to essentially use Deep Gnome Poison
on a horde
to inflect that versus
well, it
one
came
person.
Down to,
look at that.
To hit
compromise.
Yeah, I think
it came
there
down
was
to hit
fair.
Numbers. Like yeah. truly, that's it. Yeah. Where it's like whatever could do the maximum, like in one hit, was truly like the most.
So there was a nerf
this.
To area of effect, but a buff to single.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
yeah.
the pool is much lower.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not actually like troll's worth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Chris did the cleave. Hey, I see what you're doing, Chris. There was
he's thought about it.
Like I said,
he's
it makes sense,
it.
And it does. Like it's not
it
something
just,
that's easy to balance
it
at all.
It still pisses me off. Don't get me wrong.
It made me significantly stronger, and it made Minx significantly less strong.
Yep.
And
like,
Clue was the same.
Clue just does his thing, man.
But he this just... is also comparatively, like, I always talk about balancing because Chris's balance is wild for not playing through them or, like, I don't know, properly balancing things in some degree. But, like, I think that this is, yeah, technically, out of all of the things that we have done, one of the, I say this so lightly because I also don't listen, Chris. Plug your ears. But, like one of the easier ones, though, for us to get through comparatively to, like, Oda and Orla. Like the top of the mountain, like in the forest with Bigby. Like these are all things that like we went down several times.
Yeah.
Like we had to use so much like distance and work to get through. Like realistically, this was huge.
It also
I
helped
think
that I was rolling like a fiend.
I think there was like a big significant. Like buff too when we all got into the same square.
Oh yeah,
because that made that like that would have made it if we were all stuck in our own lanes.
I would have
like,
been having, fucked it like the second row.
Yeah, like the fact that we did that and we did it quickly, like in round two, and we were just able to move up together. I think that was really important.
But I'll put it in perspective. If you had all gotten to tier five or wave five individually and in your own squares at the start before doing any damage, there were 150 hit points in a square. Which means it would have been 15 attacks and 15 D6 of sleep. So you would have been put out instantly.
Everybody. Yeah.
And you would have gotten 15 attacks all pretty much with advantage.
Except for me.
Because that's like 300.
Because I can't sleep.
Like this is 300 hit points that we just avoided in the top round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let alone
yeah.
the other ones prior.
Clue would have loved the challenge.
Because again, how can I kind of visualize and... gametize being surrounded by a countless horde of enemies.
No, it's good,
right?
It's good.
Where it's like, okay, like it's a horde kind of mentality, just providing all this damage and like have this collective hit points.
Like, I mean, how many turns
it
was
got,
that?
They would have gotten me asleep.
How
15d6.
How many turns was like that in total? Like full rounds? That was how long did that take?
How long? About
seven or
four,
eight.
A
minute?
Because we went
less than a minute?
Five rounds, but then one round, so that was six, and then we spent an extra one here, so seven.
So how many rounds in a minute? How many?
Ten.
Ten rounds in a minute.
Okay, so it was less than a minute. So yeah, like, you know, you can really picture it just as like, we're slashing through waves of enemies, trying to find a hole to sort of get through, right?
Next round, too.
Seven.
Yeah. No. So yeah, less than a minute.
Yeah.
I was just saying that, like, we
charge through.
We charge through. We're charging. We're like essentially piercing a hole.
Yeah.
And then it fills in right away.
And just, right? Letting the summer court fucking loose.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. You finally saw the swing of the winter unleashing what they've all been kind of dealing with onto the summer in this one skirmish, where it's like they're having the summer court kin fight against the summer court.
Yeah. Damn.
Are they gonna die? They all gonna die?
Chris, are they gonna die? Are you gonna kill your second plane of existence?
I didn't kill Hallow.
Oh, I don't know about that. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm
Pixar are not real.
I'm so
that's not it. That's
Pixar
not
didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar not real. Pixar not real.
Trust no pic.
Yeah, but then we're past the line.
You're moving past the enemy line.
We're moving further into the equinox towards the winter court.
Really quickly, I know she's got a mission same as us, but the fact your mom didn't even look for us.
I don't know.
What the fuck, man?
I know.
Silent death? Cause some silent death to clear the path for us,
well,
all
she
right?
just chopped through real quick, I guess, but I don't know.
She never knew. She didn't know how strong you were. She's just like, he'll get through.
Hey, I don't know my mom too well, so it's like, you know.
Yeah.
She's got a job to do. She's got a job to do. Who knows?
Yeah.
She's kind of disassociated from you. Like, as much as she might love you, I'm like, yeah, she knew what, when you were four?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been kind of chill here without it, to be fair, like on a job. Yeah. Like, and I don't know, I think Titania's holding some weird power shit over her. And it's because I don't like their
dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't like that Kinala's just like, no, bend.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah.
But it also makes me question what's up with Titania.
Yeah,
what's
it really does.
Titania? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, right? You know, like she's silent death.
Yeah.
She is like a soldier. So like maybe it's the same as Clue. Like when Clue goes into army mode, that's blinders on. Like that's it.
That's
like
true.
Nothing else matters, right? It's like go, go, go for the mission. So
that's true.
I don't know. I have no idea what she's like.
No idea
you
either.
Know? So it's like
curious to find out because we're now traveling through the equinox, then the winter court.
Yeah. I'm very curious.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
I don't want to put it in Chris's head. No. Chris, can you plug your ears?
Again.
Great.
he put his hands over the headphones.
Okay.
Yeah,
super
working.
Plugging his ears.
That's
totally not.
The summer court has a Ken. What does a winter court have?
Neck.
There's definitely an answer for this
that you would know.
No, like I'm like
she's trying to come up with a joke.
Yeah, but like I'm like there's definitely a lore thing with it. You said Ken, right?
Ken.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm just wanting to know. I'm not even wondering
like what the tree's name is.
The winter court has Barbie.
Barbie.
I'm not even talking about.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, like I was trying to think. I was like, what's the opposite of Ken?
Yeah.
In the
like Barbie.
What was Michael Cera's character?
Alan.
Alan.
They got an Alan.
Of course, the winter court would have an Alan.
Alan.
But Ken, when we were entering the summer court, Ken didn't just let us through.
No,
we needed to show your key.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have a key for the winter court.
We also don't know what that way of entry looks like.
Well, that was my question. Yeah. What's the Ken of the winter court?
I'm so interested. I don't know. I think we do have a key.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who?
Which
and
do
I
you think it is?
In Minx's mind.
I was going to say, well, because I...
Oh, and my shackles. Maybe I'm both keys.
Maybe we got...
Oh, my God.
I like the idea of Dylan also just, like, beeping his shackles, like, on a fucking, like, tag.
Yeah, it's like your passport at the airport. Yeah. Just, like, scan it. And like,
yeah, two episodes, it was Clue picking Dylan up and rubbing him against the tree.
So
over
funny.
His chest, and now it's just the shackles that I rub.
Wait, Chris, I have a question. And I know we kind of talked about this off mic because I was just confused, but the rock I picked up long time back.
The one you bought at the Wandering Wonder auction.
Yeah. Mm.
Which was cursed.
The cursed Luckstone. Yes.
That's when I started hearing voices, right?
No. You then started hearing voices at the start of the campaign.
Yeah.
Great. Never mind then. I was like, maybe that's a key. No, fuck that.
That's just a cursed item.
That's just a cursed item that's here that I'm also
You're just doubling down on the darkness.
Give me more curses.
Yeah.
You started hearing the voice even before you met Dylan and Clue. Because in your flashback, 2 weeks before Tillville, as you were like interacting with Merrick, like as you left
it
the shop,
initiated your journey.
Like a Minora.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Okay.
That's true.
Well, I was just like, because maybe that's a key in the rock form. No.
Man.
super interesting.
Yeah, no, you've been hearing this voice the entire campaign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? I thought, yeah. Well, I thought that, and that's where I was just like, it wasn't. But no,
it is
no rock use.
Honestly,
just
though, like
honest cursed rock.
If we think about the things that we have to get us into the winter court versus the things that we had to get us into summer court, we have more. We have more winter court stuff.
Yeah. We actually do.
I got the shackles. You got the voice.
I think no. I don't think the shackles are winter court associated at all.
You think they're Faradin?
Well, no, because Titania said that you brought something into the Fae with you. That's what you have that's evil, right? So you brought those shackles with you, then that is, they hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're Winter Court associated at all, personally.
There's also twofold of like, if the voice kept pulling me, maybe the voice is just like, come in.
Yeah.
Oh, you've arrived.
Also within that though, with the vision in my mom, Arrow.
Ooh, maybe? some form of key. Maybe.
Could do a thing. Could do a thing.
Could do a thing.
Aren't you supposed to come alone?
We're not there yet.
I don't know.
I don't want to go.
And also, we didn't see Faradin in that battle at all.
No.
Thank goodness. He's busy. Well,
I don't think he would waste his time with
but
that.
But that was the only reason where I was like, hey, Titania, maybe we make a thing to maybe pull him back from... Because he's just been... going to his direction the whole time.
Yes.
But what would that be?
This is two episodes. You know? This is one episode ago when we were talking to Titania. And yeah, and you mentioned that, something to pull Faradin.
Wasn't that the beginning of this episode?
No.
This episode
started with us
charging into battle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just like, I don't know, it's very like, it's very big bad of him. Like I'm just picturing like a Voldemort situation after Philosopher's
Stone.
I know, but it's chasing an object, and so it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's that feeling of like, I'm like, is he going to be stuck at something? Like and work like it's
just
he's stuck at the gates.
You see him stuck in like spider web.
Hello.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm just like
that's his voice.
I feel like it'll be really obvious when he gets it.
Yeah.
And so he must not have it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's what I'm like.
It's very true.
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm trying to like eye of Sauron on him where I'm like, make a distraction.
Yeah.
Which
is
very much what the skirmish of sisters. Thank you.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that's the entire reason why Kinala was like, this is the best time to pull away sources, resources. Yeah.
Speaking of pulling away resources, it's going to be sick to, you know, get to the other side, get into the, like, even before entering the Winter Court, we might be able to take a short rest without being attacked by red caps because they're all occupied.
Yeah. Long rest.
Yeah.
I would love a long rest as well. Yeah.
But
I need one.
But yeah, it's like, you know, it's the question of like, sure, Faradin came in and he started walking with a purpose, but like, is there something that he's like meeting? Is he just sort of like in the Fae and he's just like, he has some sort of like connection to something, but he has no idea what it is?
Yeah.
Or is there things already at play that are preparing to meet with him and like, you know, things have been arranged?
All very good questions.
Thoughts, Chris?
Many.
Great.
All I'll say is this. There was always the possibility that Faradin never would have entered the Feywild. Yeah. We left that up to roll.
That's true.
So
I hate that.
Faradin is just an extra entity that is at play in this Feywild.
Which is crazy because then that means there's like Erevan Elysir with the relic fighting against the summer court, let's say, potentially.
Yeah.
And that's like one whole fucking thing that's happening and like taking over the Fae. There's that big battle that's happening. And now Faradin is coming in because the whole thing in Hallow that's happening is like...
Did we confirm, by the way...
The relics.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did we confirm that the summer court that was fighting for the winter court with the weird eyes stuff, was that all dead summer court that was being controlled by Erevan Elysir? Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't confirm that, but they looked zombified.
Chris,
They looked zombified.
They were okay,
zombified. So that's but we don't know.
Our characters don't know, but as players, we can assume.
We can assume from our two shots in the Fae.
Why does he want to change the balance of things?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
And then, so, you know, is it going to be a thing where, like, Faradin and Erevan Elysir are going to be going at it for the sword, and we're going to be like the third party on the sidelines trying to get in on this?
I hate
right?
It's I like hate it's, third parties.
It's like there's completely different forces happening. And like, if your voice is a completely different thing, then is that another thing? Like, there could be like so many things at play here.
I don't know if I'm.
How streamlined is all of this?
Yeah. I'm like, how many parties are going after it?
Yeah. Which is good for us if there's more than one. Because that makes
maybe.
It, I think so.
I don't know.
That's like, you know, that's like some Marvel Endgame shit. Yeah. Marvel sponsor us if you can.
Fuck you, Marvel.
We can't
you.
Go a long rest of it talking about Marvel.
But I just mean like, you know, it could be so many forces at play trying to.
Yeah. And you know, and then we just hide out in your little fake little bush.
Yeah.
And wait for them all to duke it out.
It only fits one.
Well, because Kinala and Titania had no idea about this whole thing that was going on in Hallow. Mm-hmm. But in Hallow, it was the only thing that was essentially consuming us and all of our time. While here, they're dealing with their own fucking shit.
It's a full plane of existence. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, Chris. You've spun it. You've spun a world within a world within a world. Speaking of which, if you played the game Cocoon, fantastic. It's by the same people that made Inside, I believe.
Oh,
great game.
Yeah, Inside is one of my favorite games. Definitely play Cocoon.
We've smoothly transitioned into what are we playing, watching, reading.
It's 30% off on Steam right now.
Yes.
I can't play it. I only have a
so
Mac.
Good. It's so good. It's so good. It
oh,
is,
it looks
it's
gross.
Got a, it's got a 10 out of 10 rating on Steam, and it is...
Can I get it on PlayStation?
Rightfully, yes, you can.
Oh, sick.
It's so good. It's so good. It is one of the best like indie puzzle games that I've played
Fuck
in quite
yeah.
some time.
Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Well, I guess that pretty much wraps up this last call.
So.
You all three of you looked at me being like,
Yeah, is there anything else that we need to talk about?
I don't know. How's everyone doing? Write it down in the comments. Tell us how you're doing, what you're excited for, if you're thinking about what the next thing's like, what's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen in the winter court?
Yeah.
Do you think my mom is mean?
Do you think Dylan's mom
is
the
mean.
Queen of Air and Darkness?
Oh.
Queen Alla.
Queen Alla.
Queen Alla.
Wow,
is Queen Alla mean Alla? We'll find out.
Troublemakers, smash that like button.
Holy balls.
We're also gonna post on our socials the map that we kind of use throughout
this
entire
battle. Taking some pictures of it. It's not really a map. It's more of
it's
just
like
a
chessboard kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little tally for us.
You did a good job, Chris.
Thank you.
Murder.
You always do so good.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Anyways, that wraps up this last call for Trouble at the Tavern, joined once again by Chris, Mike, Hartley, and Maggie. We'll see you next time. Take it away with the slow fade jazz.
Jazz.